I am so sick of the media dictating the terms of the narrative in this country. I'm so sick of having to be apologetic for who I am. I'm so sick of people in middle America being called a flyover country or slope-headed.
Conservative teabaggers.
It's going to be teabagging day.
It's hard to talk when you're teabagging. Appreciate it very much.
It's so funny because the teabaggers, the one thing they hate is when you call them racist.
If racism is not the whole of the Tea Party, it is in its heart.
The hatred that is Timothy McVeigh, that he had. There are plenty of people like that right now.
I think you get the general tenor of this. It's anti-government. This is highly promoted by the right-wing conservative network, Fox.
The left pits people against each other. Divide and conquer is the strategy. I don't want to live in that world. It is the exact opposite of E Pluribus Unum. And what the left has stood for with political correctness is to try and get those with whom they disagree to shut up. And the Tea Party movement and Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann and Alan West and all the people that have gone out there against the mainstream media and said, you're going to call us racist? You're going to call us potential Timothy McVeighs? Fuck you. War.
Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Monday, June 20th, 2022. The day after Juneteenth. Everybody wonders, what is that all about? And you explain and still everybody says, well, okay, but what is that all about? So it's about cultural Marxism. That's what it's about. It's about cultural hegemony and cultural assimilation and all of those kinds of fun things. That's what it's about. Andrew Breitbart warned us that is a prescient intro that we play these days, as offensive as it is. And we're moving that direction. I have tried to make the case very clearly in plain and simple terms, but who knows if that message is coming through at this point, because we are all victims of a memetic virus, a mind virus. So, bad old school bad guy George Bernard Shaw perhaps said it best when he said the single biggest problem in communication is the illusion that it has taken place. I alluded to that recently, and so there I stated it finally. That's how he put it, and probably begs repeating. It's a provocative, nuanced observation, and apparently the same problem has always been the same problem. Anosognosia and cognitive dissonance tell us that, and the Dunning-Kruger effect for that matter tell us that ignorance is incapable of seeing and acknowledging itself, and therefore, the more ignorant we are, the less likely and capable we are of seeing our ignorance. And that's why people who know nothing about a subject are often the most bold and outspoken on a subject they know nothing about. And the experts kind of sit idly by and just are amused. So the single biggest problem in communication is the illusion that it has taken place. All right, so we have quite a situation brewing in America. Thing happened over the weekend. What are the odds that there might be a situation in Harlem? What do you suppose? What are the odds on Juneteenth weekend, on Juneteenth weekend of all things? I think that's a pretty curious coincidence. There would be a Strategy of Tension episode in Harlem on Juneteenth weekend. So there's that. There's all the nonsense about the January 6th committee hearings, which are, you know, it's just hardcore divisive propaganda. It's really sad to see that. I think, you know, it's hard to argue, if not impossible, perhaps, that it makes a mockery of our American form of government, or, you know, whatever may be construed as such. I think it's very unfortunate. It's an embarrassment, to be sure. You know, again, I mean, it's been sort of publicly debated and speculated how many, and asked for that matter, and I've talked about that. Maybe we should play the clips of Ted Cruz, for example, asking about how many agents provocateur were present January 6th, not getting straight answers. Oh, but wait, Ted Cruz is being marginalized once again. Where is that? Newsweek. Newsweek is an enclave of, I don't know, Newsweek is one of those outlets that seems to be turning into the National Enquirer. Ted Cruz heckled at Texas GOP convention, called coward in viral video. That kind of stuff. So we marginalized it. Oh, yeah, Ted Cruz asked those questions. How many federal agents or operatives or informants were there on the scene January 6th? Yeah, but look at Ted Cruz's, you know, we shouldn't pay attention to him or listen to him. It's very interesting, the kind of divisive seeds that are being sown in America, and people don't realize. I had an occasion to pick up William Sheridan Allen's The Nazi Seizure of Power again. The experience of a single German town, 1922 to 1945. And I have been among those who are arguably hyperbolic when I say, you know, when I said the COVID thing starting, I called it COVID. People said it's COVID 1984. I said it's COVID 1939. 1984 was a fictional account of a dystopian nightmare. And 1939 was a real, actually, you might argue, you know, some might argue that Orwell's foreshadowing, Eric Arthur Blair's foreshadowing, was a, you know, a fictionalized depiction of the reality that was planned, and I wouldn't disagree with that, but 1939 actually did happen, and there's no one who can, we don't, we kind of start with reality and then work our way back to fiction from there, if that makes sense, and rather than vice versa. So the point here is that it is arguably at least somewhat perhaps hyperbolic to say, you know, COVID 1939. I think, you know, our story probably starts more like chapter 9 or so of, you know, with COVID anyway. I would hazard a guess that where we're at this point, we start somewhere in chapter 9, you know, somewhere between chapter 8 and 10 of Allen's The Nazi Seizure of Power. So chapter 8 is Things Fall Apart, summer 1932. He quotes Yeats, "The Second Coming, things fall apart, the center cannot hold. Mere anarchy is loosed upon the world, the blood-dimmed tide is loosed, and everywhere the ceremony of innocence is drowned. The best lack all conviction, while the worst are full of passionate intensity." Does that sound vaguely familiar? Things fall apart. And chapter 9 is titled The Last Winter, Autumn and Winter of 1932 and 33. And he quotes a local news outlet, December 6, 1932, "I am hungry, I am hungry. I have hunger and nothing else," shouted by an unemployed worker arrested for disturbing the peace. Again, you know, people are talking about that. Oh, but we have the universal basic income that'll save us all. And then chapter 10, The Last Elections, February and March of 1933. And quoting the German resistance leaflet distributed in 1942, "If this cancer of the German people was not all too obvious at the beginning, it was because there were enough healthy energies at work to restrain it. But as it grew and grew, and at last, by a final piece of knavery, came to power, the cancer burst and made foul the whole political body. Then the majority of those who had opposed it went into hiding," which, by the way, echoes the sentiments expressed by many, including Naomi Wolf in her book, The End of America, letter of warning to a young patriot. So that's interesting, I think. Those who, you know, then the majority of those who had opposed it went into hiding. It also reminds me of Chuck Missler talking back about 15 years ago about the possibility of the Christian church, the remnant, if you will, going into hiding, going underground. So, then, you know, you skip forward maybe to, well, let's see, chapter 11 is the use of electoral success. I mean, is any of this sort of, is there a familiar ring to any of this? Statement of Ernst German, deputy mayor of Northheim and local group leader for Northheim of the NSDAP. So the Nazis. I run things here all by myself. And, you know, so the thing that is so astonishing is the militant leftists who don't see themselves as Nazis, even though, you know, they're being conditioned, I would say, in precisely the same fashion. Chapter 12, The Terror System, Spring and Summer of 1933. Alan quotes Hitler, "Cruelty impresses, cruelty and raw force. The simple man in the street is impressed only by brutal force and ruthlessness. Terror is the most effective political means." Deeply Machiavellian, that's interesting. Chapter 13, Whipping Up Enthusiasm, Spring and Summer of 1933. What a transposition through divine disposition. Title of the main speech at the Nazi victory celebration in Northheim, March 19, 1933. I don't know, maybe it's just me, but these passages, these little excerpts, they strike a resonant chord, I think. Chapter 14, this is one particularly that I feel, you know, maybe I'll return to and read from at some point. The Atomization of Society, Spring and Summer of 1933. And quoting Psalm 83, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." and the atomization of society. Chapter 15, The Positive Aspect, Spring and Summer of 1933. Everyone will surely have noticed that from now on a new wind will be blowing. Heinrich Vogel, Nazi speaker of the city council, March 28, 1933. I would argue something similar is happening with, shall we say, particularly with the World Economic Forum's young global leaders, which seems to be everyone that CBS, ABC, and NBC covers, CNN. Everyone has ties to the young global leaders. Isn't that an astonishing and remarkable coincidence? Chapter 16, Reaction and Resistance, Spring and Summer of 1933. The true supporters of government are weak and the uninformed and not the wise. William Godwin, Inquiry Concerning Political Justice and Its Influence on Morals and Happiness. And so, you know, then you think of things like Hayek's observations in Chapter 10 in particular, The Road to Serfdom, Why the Worst Get on Top. And, I've read the same concepts that this is not unique to William Sheridan Allen's account. This is very much the same, for example, as Stephen Ambrose's Band of Brothers. Same forces, the same recipe for disaster. Same forces coalesce like ingredients in a recipe. So, A, it's difficult to argue that these ingredients just happen by nature. Just because you don't understand how to make an apple pie doesn't mean that apple pies make themselves all the time by accident. Just because you can't identify the ingredients of an apple pie doesn't mean that it's normal to think or imagine that apple pies just fall out of the sky every day. It just happens all the time. Apple pies are created every day. No, that's not the case. That's not reality. So when they appear, because we don't understand how these forces are brought to bear, because we don't understand that generally, because we're ignorant of it, we are offered dumbed down, blunted explanations for things that actually feed into and foment further chaos and civil unrest. Because we don't understand, we grab onto blunted sound bites that really don't explain in truth. But, we want to have some kind of answer. And so, speaking of that, one of the things that I've mentioned is Milton Mayer's They Thought They Were Free, along these same lines, and again, how many times have I mentioned the same excerpt along the same lines? Quoting chapter 13, but then it was too late. What no one seemed to notice, said a colleague of mine, a philologist, was that the ever-widening gap after 1933 between the government and the people. Just think how very wide this gap was to begin with here in Germany, and then it became always wider. Government by emergency, by surprise. I'll read the full quote when we come back. It's astonishing. Stick around, I'll be right back. But
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience-supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
You know that nothing beats a storable food stockpile for readiness. But there are two problems with storable food. It's expensive, and eventually, it runs out. Then what? What happens to you or your family when there's not enough food to go around? In a true survival scenario, you need a renewable food source. That's why Seed Armory has developed a survival-grade seed vault that can produce over $25,000 worth of crops from just one kit. Unlike other seed vaults, we don't inflate our seed counts with fillers. All our seeds are 100% heirloom and non-GMO. Not a green thumb? Don't worry. We've written an easy-to-follow guide to guarantee your success from planting to harvest. For a limited time, we're offering an additional 10% off your order when you enter the code RBN at checkout. Go to seedarmory.com. That's seedarmory.com. Don't wait. Like everything else, seeds are in short supply.
Welcome back. Goodness sakes. So let's see. There's the deal in San Antonio, right? Mass shooting, sees seven gunned down during family barbecue. Right? There's that story. Newsweek, of course, has reached out to San Antonio Police Department for additional information, right? Continued gun violence. Oh, my goodness. In a separate incident that last week, police in Nashville said that a shooting connected to a birthday party at an apartment complex pool left two people dead. And so, you know, there's that birthday shooting sees four gunned down, two dead. And so, you know, Gosh, how do we? And then, of course, you know, the Harlem stuff. That's in the news. New York City shooting leaves 6 people injured in Harlem. Harlem mass shooting leaves 1 dead and 8 injured. So, there is the element of violence that has been socially engineered over decades, over generations. Vigilante justice has been depicted in films for, I don't know, generations, at least the last 2 or 3 generations. My generation, I'll turn 52 later this year, and, you know, we grew up with that kind of stuff in the 80s, for example. It was, you know, the action movie stars were renowned for that kind of thing. Vigilante justice. And then there's the first-person shooter stuff. Maybe we should play the clip of psychologist Tom Kersting saying, yeah, you know, to imagine that these kinds of games are not having an influence on kids is to kid yourself, because, you know, it has historically had an effect. And I think the way that he couches that is magnificent. I think we all should be aware of that. Desensitizing folks. And then there is the harping, the discordant tone, you know, that is harped on constantly in society. I've heard lately from several people, you know, that we're all increasingly aware of how everyone has reached their breaking point. Everyone's reached their boiling point. Everyone's fed up. And what do you suppose happens when you take a people, you tell them, you know, that they can be as, well, there's another excerpt from, see if I can find it. Which chapter is that? I was actually trying to find that during the break. What happens when you take a people you've told that don't need to be, you know, you guys don't need to behave yourselves. And you turn them into animals, you dehumanize people, and then you get them all stirred up and to their breaking point. What do you suppose might happen? Tell them they don't have to behave themselves, condition them with you know, dehumanize them generally, and teach them that, you know, through games like first-person shooter games and things, that, you know, these kinds of things are normal. What happens when you put all of those ingredients together? What could possibly go wrong, right? Here it is, Chapter 5, Authoritarians Unite, Spring and Summer of 1931. Nazi propaganda consists entirely of a perpetual appeal to whatever is swinish in a man or in man. Dr. Kurt Schumacher, SPD, Reichstag speech, February 23rd, 1932. Nazi propaganda consists entirely of a perpetual appeal to whatever is swinish in man. Nazi propaganda consists entirely of a perpetual appeal to whatever is swinish in man. Are we witnessing something similar in America, perhaps? I mean, the protocols, for example, and the communist rules, etc., all hint at something similar to this. Are we seeing it in America today? That perpetual appeal to whatever is swinish in man? Stick around. We'll be right back.
Truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth. Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because big tech, big pharma, and big brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
Dr. Fauci has COVID-19. I'm Peter Serafine with today's Liberty Minute. Dr. Anthony Fauci tested positive for the Wuhan flu and will follow his own recommendations, I'm sure. After two vaccine shots and two booster shots and often wearing two masks, he still got COVID-19. I thought this was a pandemic of the unvaccinated. In about a week, Dr. Fauci will praise the jabs for keeping him out of the hospital. He will claim that he only survived because of those jabs. Conveniently, two claims that cannot be proven. He will get his time in the spotlight again, which I am convinced is all he really wants. Well, that and all the money he's made off of Big Pharma. Don't miss the Liberty Lighthouse live stream tonight at 7 p.m. Eastern Time with former Mafia capo Michael Franzese discussing his new book, Mafia Democracy, at liberty-lighthouse.com. Until tomorrow, Ibis Pashem Parabellum.
Welcome back. Bottom of the first hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast. And, you know, again, as previously stated during today's broadcast, according to old school bad guy George Bernard Shaw, the bad guys, they know these things the best because they've prostrated themselves at the foot of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Shaw said the single biggest problem in communication is the illusion that it has taken place. So, you know, there are folks who try to warn us, and you can't tell the truth anymore in America because to tell the truth flies in the face of our religious devotion and fervor to positivism. You got to say something nice. You got to say something. So we're all little rats in the, you know, Skinner box, the operant conditioning chamber. And we can't tell the truth, and we can't say, you know, danger, danger, danger. No, say something positive. Danger? Anyway, some folks try to tell us, psychologist Tom Kersting, for example, after the Parkland Strategy of Tension episode, how can you say that? Now, we've talked about that many times, the peculiarities. You know, I don't even want to get into it, but, you know, what happened to Philip B. Haney when he wrote See Something, Say Nothing, and he was the guy who testified before Congress that some stuff disappeared. strangely enough, and he connected some things. You know, if we listened to him, we'd probably take a second look at the San Bernardino incident. We'd take a second look at some things that have happened on one military installation in particular in Texas. We've had multiple incidents there with Manchurian patsies, I would say, which is odd, don't you think? So anyway, there are folks who have tried to tell us some things, and I think in Philip B. Haney's case, for example, to their detriment, and perhaps even to their demise, unfortunately. So, speaking of warnings and the truth, Tom Kersting said it, I think, very articulately back in 2018 after the Parkland Strategy of Tension episode on Today with Megyn Kelly. So here's what he said. Go ahead, please.
There's another piece to this also that really will resonate. World War I, the average combat soldier, only 10% of combat soldiers were capable of pulling the trigger at point-blank range. By Vietnam, 80% were. And the difference was that the targets they used during World War I were paper bullseye targets, and the ones they used to train soldiers in Vietnam were human silhouettes. So think of the desensitization just from something as trivial as that. And now, look at the society we live in, with kids playing first shooter video games, being exposed to violent content all day long, and think about how their mind is absorbing that, and perhaps that plays into why we're having these types of things happening.
I feel like it has to be.
There you go. And then Megan turns to, you know, well, we should just take guns away from everybody, and that way, you know, everyone should go to a re-education center, and no one should have firearms. Oh, except for the authorities. And they haven't been dehumanized or, you know, mind-controlled in their own sort of way at all. Of course not. So that's interesting. There was another excerpt that a story. There's this book I've mentioned in the past, David Seabury's The Art of Selfishness, which was first published in 1937. Yeah, 1937, republished, reprinted in 1968. So, you know, you talk about the sexual revolution or whatever you want to call it and things like that. The cultural revolution really is kind of what I would call it. And many, many forms. The CIA was at the heart of that and very instrumental in all of that. So, you know, you could argue, reading books like David Seabury's The Art of Selfishness, that the Cultural Revolution had its roots in the boomers' parents' generation, in the days of the administrative coup, you know, the progressive coup. Hillary's a progressive, remember? She told us back in the 2007 CNN YouTube debates. I'm a progressive, like the early American progressives, which is a bad thing. Those people were political terrorists and subversives. They should have been tried for treason, in my humble estimation, but I digress. So there's an excerpt that mentions exactly how you know, in one sense, the how the propaganda works, you know, and I've spoken to this when you in dialectical fashion, if you get people away from thinking in a didactic reasoning sense, and you introduce competing ideas, then they may, you know, it's kind of the way of the cognitively dissonant or the double-minded, who have to, you know, it's what Gregory Bateson's research was all about with regard to the double bind. You have to reconcile the two or you'll drive yourself crazy. And in a highly discordant, politically charged world, we're subjected to that on a constant basis, which means that we're constantly moving, which gets back to those ingredients. But when it's just this endless series of conflicts and you're unable to resolve them satisfactorily and resolutely in didactic fashion, then you, in dialectic fashion, you know, you sort of wrestle them mentally to the middle so that you don't go crazy. And that process is alive and well in America. It's at work constantly throughout each day if you're subjecting yourself to the strategy of tension episodes like what happened on Juneteenth. Imagine that. In Harlem, of all places. And we don't understand why that might be a problem. You know, why these things, we might be seeing more of these things when people have reached their breaking point and we've been marinating in social engineering to the effect that Tom Kersting just mentioned for generations now. And the games get more realistic. And I've said it before, but I mean, when do we start talking about the fact that Hasbro is not just a child's toy manufacturer, they are a defense contractor. So why is Hasbro involved in military weaponry, the manufacturing of military weaponry and children's toys? Why is DARPA so deeply and heavily invested, literally and figuratively, in the development of video games, including and especially first-person shooter games? Why do these games keep getting more realistic? And is there an aspect of that that feeds into schizoaffective disorder, where there's a blurring of the lines between fantasy and reality for people? Where is that line? Is it a hard line where someone says, you know what, I play this game, but you would never... that would never cross over, and these things would happen. You know, what is it? AMC, I think, aired American Sniper. Last night, re-aired it, maybe I should say. Directed by Clint Eastwood. Written by Jason Hall. Produced, wasn't Steve Mnuchin like the executive producer on that? Anyway. And Bradley Cooper was one of the producers, I think. So, you see, there are, I've talked about some of the problems with the film in the past without getting into all of that. You know, there's how deeply disturbed the depiction of Chris Kyle after he returns stateside, you know, how deeply disturbed he is because of what he's experienced. And, you know, from there, I think it's a short trip to the article series that I've mentioned in the past from 2017, Crimes of SEAL Team 6, for example. And there's much more to this story. I don't want to get sidetracked, but, you know, Matthew Cole's series of articles, and there was a lot of backlash. But, you know, I mean, without getting too far off and, you know, running down that rabbit hole. There's the you know, the issue of the greatest hits collection and canoeing and that kind of thing, which horrified folks at reunions. This is, I think, evidence of, and I've mentioned this in the past, but, you know, I think it's evidence of the legitimacy of Tom Kirsting's point that he made. And if you're not familiar with what I'm talking about, I leave it to your discretion to look into it or not. It's deeply disturbing. So, you know, this goes far beyond. You know, there's just so much more to this. And gosh, if we could get good at the telephone game, maybe we could all start sharing some information and get to the bottom of things and realize that, you know, again, you can't out Machiavelli. And if you try, the only thing you'll end up with is, you know, if you're going to fight fire with fire, it's always scorched earth in the end. So I think it's tragic and unfortunate. There is so much more, you know, speaking of the Bin Laden raid, you know, the dark cloud over what happened subsequently. You know, Billy Vaughn's book, Betrayed, The Shocking True Story of Extortion 17, as told by a Navy SEAL's father, touches on it. So what happened there? And I think basically what we're seeing in simple terms is history repeating itself. I think another, perhaps a better treatment over at Truth in Action, Extortion 17, The Assassination of SEAL Team 6, that gets close to, you know, you're starting to approach the, you know, the real story. Anyway, then there are the folks who come out of the SF community, and, you know, as folks like John in Tennessee and I have discussed for years, I recall, you know, John, I think, has had conversations with folks who say, I mean, I remember talking to a guy in 2006, and this whole, you know, it's coming. You can either be on the right side or the winning side. And you say that and people go, wait a minute, the right side or the winning side? What? That's deeply disturbing. What do you mean by that? It's coming. You can either be on the right side or the winning side. I remember having a conversation with a gentleman in 2006 that, you know, he was gleeful about going, you know, after spending some time in the special forces community, finally being able to hire himself out for obscene amounts of money for 3 or 4 months out of the year, and, you know, not work for 8 or 9 months out of the year, making, you know, a king's ransom well into six figures back in 2006 for, you know, 3 or 4 months worth of work. Who's paying for that? Congratulations, America. You've become the hotbed of Prussian mercenary forces. And what lessons does history have for us? I mean, it's kind of ironic, you know, if you go back to the American founding, there's definitely a cruel irony involved there, I would say. Anyway, this is all getting far afield. You can see it. You can see the whole rinse and repeat cycle. I think the movie American Sniper sort of represents the rinse and repeat cycle, the beginning to the end of it, and rinse and repeat. It's evidence of Tom Kirsting's point, and yet it serves as a recruitment video to, you know, rinse and repeat. How tragically ironic. Stick around. We'll be right back.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's one, RAD, consistent results when used for heart problems. This product has been a godsend for my father, who suffered a heart attack about 2 years ago. He was prescribed medications for his condition, which was so serious that if he hadn't made it to the hospital in time, he would have died. But he hasn't been able to afford most of the medications. After researching alternatives, he tried Extendivite. While taking Extendivite, he has consistently lower blood pressure and experiences less angina. We are currently on our 5th bottle. I enthusiastically recommend this product, and I am grateful that it is available. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Standing 6'4", weighing 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. Fuck you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
It's the good life. Full of fun seems to be the ideal. Yes, the good life lets you hide all the sadness you feel. You won't really fall in love, 'cause you can't take the chance. So be honest with yourself. Don't try to fake romance. It's the good life to be free and explore the unknown. Like the heartaches when you learn you must face them alone. Please remember, I still want you. And in case you wonder why, well, just wake up, kiss that good life goodbye.
Welcome back. How perfect. Final segment of the first hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast. How perfect. The Patrick and Jeremy Show commercial. I love that commercial. Followed by Sinatra. That's to bump in. That's perfect. I love that commercial. And by the way, there was some, I don't know, apparently there was some controversy or whatever over people, hosts, making fun of commercials. And I would imagine that my name is in there somewhere. I've never, I don't think, well, maybe one time a while back I made fun of a commercial, but certainly not recently. And I appreciate them all. I think, you know, as I said, for example, the Patrick and Jeremy Show commercial is, that's just fantastic. I think it's a great commercial. And there is the one commercial in question, which I think is fantastic. I hope it can make a comeback. I think it's definitely memorable. I mean, I don't think there's any denying that. So that's fun. So despite all of this insanity, there are folks who, you know, there are the forces for good still that are sort of countering the evil in our midst. And that's great. And we should not lose sight of what, again, you know, I mentioned Rex Tibber. Specifically, reminding us of the inverse square law, and you know, in simple terms, this is, you know, how our focus is being drawn toward things that otherwise we would not perhaps even notice or realize, let alone focus on. I wonder if I could find a piece of that. Maybe I will. I don't know. We'll see. So it's interesting when we realize it, like a dog being led to something, you know, returning to its vomit, perhaps, you know, our focus and our attention is being drawn directly and zeroed in like a laser on certain things, like the stuff that I mentioned that happened over the weekend, ironically on the weekend of Juneteenth, what happened in Harlem, you know. It becomes almost impossible to imagine these things happen by accident. That'll do it for the first hour. Second hour coming up. Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.